The eighth conference, the seven promises of the Holy Spirit. In the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit has seven messages for the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is now the country of Turkey. At the end of each of these messages to the churches, the Holy Spirit makes a special promise to the victor, to the one who conquers, to the one who overcomes. We are able to apply these promises of the Holy Spirit to us today, provided we are victors over the demons that possess us, provided we overcome the obstacles to grace and conquer the demons that try to rule our life. We can think of these promises as more of those special charismatic gifts the Holy Spirit wishes to give us. Or we may think of the promises as additional fruits of the Holy Spirit that are available to us, provided we are victorious in conquering and overcoming our demons. In the second chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 7, the Holy Spirit makes a promise to the church in Ephesus. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. To the victor, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life that is in the garden of God. This tree of life is the tree of the Holy Spirit, the tree of love. The fruit of this tree of life is that of love, or if you wish, the life of God, because the life of God is a life of love. As St. John says in his first epistle, God is love. And so if we are victorious over our demons that threaten us, if we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, then we will be able to eat from this tree of life, to have a constant supply of the Holy Spirit, of grace, of love that will be available to us. The Holy Spirit says that this tree of life is in the garden of God. Garden of God would be another image similar to the kingdom of God. And that garden of God is available to us here on earth. We might think of the sacraments as a part of this garden of God. And so confirmation and baptism, it would be a part of this fruit of the tree of life. The same would be true of the Eucharist and all the other sacraments. The second message of the Holy Spirit is made to the church at Pergamum, also in Asia Minor, what is now Turkey. In verse 17, the Holy Spirit makes this promise. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. To the victor, I will give some of the hidden manna. I shall also give a white stone upon which is inscribed a new name, a name which no one knows except the one who receives it. In ancient times, Pergamum was known for this beautiful white marble that was quarried from the city and was used all over the ancient world to build temples and other public buildings. And so this idea of a white stone would be something that would be especially appreciated by the people of Pergamum. We might think of this white stone as a jewel, as an engagement ring, or a marriage ring. And the Holy Spirit, as inscribed on this white stone, that is given to each one of us at baptism and at confirmation, a name that is known only to God. We all might be curious and wish that we would know the particular pet name that God has for us. I think we can say without a doubt that this will be one of the first revelations that we will be given after we die and meet our Lord in the next world, that we will be given this new name that God has for us. In the meantime, we might think of what would be the name we would like God to choose for us, and think of that as that new name. This white stone, then, is something very personal. It's known only to God, and then, of course, to ourselves later on. It's not something that is shared with others. God has a unique love for each one of us, that God has a special place in His heart, in His home, for each of us, that we are loved in a very unique way. And that's the promise that the Holy Spirit is making here to us, just as it was made to the people in Pergamum. A part of this second promise is that I will give to the victor the hidden manna. We know how for 40 days, or rather 40 years in the desert, that God fed the Israelites with manna from heaven. And so now God promises to give us a hidden manna, a special nourishment, a special gift of grace that we will need to sustain us on our desert journey as we progress to our final resting place with God, and that we know that we will never go hungry, spiritually hungry, that there will always be this fruit of the Holy Spirit, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, that will be like a hidden manna to sustain us during our desert journey. The third promise of the Holy Spirit is made to the church of Thyatira, another city in Asia Minor. We find this in verses 26 to 29. To the victor, to the one who overcomes, to the one who conquers all the obstacles that prevent the Holy Spirit from being present to us. To the victor who keeps to my ways until the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. Like clay vessels will they be smashed. Just as I received authority from my Father, to him I will give the morning star. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Holy Spirit says. In this third promise, there are several different things that are promised to us. But there's a condition. To the victor who keeps to my ways until the end, we need to persevere until death in following the ways of God. We need to persevere throughout our life in being open to the Holy Spirit, in resisting and overcoming any of these obstacles or demons that prevent the Holy Spirit from being present to us. To the victor who keeps to my ways until the end, I will give authority over the nations. We will be given the same power that God has, the same power that Jesus has. It's all from the Holy Spirit. We will be given the power over nations. We do not have to be afraid of the forces of nations, that through the Holy Spirit we will have supreme power. And that is the meaning of this promise, which says, He will rule them with an iron rod, like clay vessels, they will be smashed. The Holy Spirit gives us all of this power and grace that we don't have to be afraid, that we just trust and know that we have God on our side. And as St. Paul says, if God be with us, who can be against us? At the end of chapter 8 of the Epistle to the Romans, Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, neither present things nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love of God is the Holy Spirit. And so this promise is available to us, to the victor, to whomever perseveres to the end, that we will have all of God's power available to us. Just as I received authority from my Father, and to Him I will give the morning star. Just as Jesus received power and authority from God, so the Holy Spirit promises to give us the same power and authority. And as a result of this, we will be like the morning star. The morning star is usually that of Venus that appears in the eastern sky just an hour or so before the sun rises. And it's the harbinger of a clear day, of a beautiful day. And that star, of course, it's a planet. It shines so powerfully and brightly. It doesn't twinkle. It's all very steady light. And so if we are victors, if we overcome the obstacles that at the present time prevent us from being open to the Holy Spirit, we will shine like a morning star in the world. We will give hope to people. We will encourage and help people to see the bright side, to look forward to a beautiful day. This is all a part of this particular promise of the Holy Spirit. A fourth promise of the Holy Spirit is found in verse 11 of this second chapter, and is addressed to the church at Smyrna. Whoever has ears to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches, the victor shall not be harmed by the second death. The first death is physical death. The second death in the mind of the writer of the book of Revelation would be that of hell, of being cut off from God forever. And so we are promised, if we are victorious over the various demons that tempt us and afflict us, if we are open to the Holy Spirit, we are assured that we have nothing to fear as far as this second death goes. The victor shall not be harmed by the second death. We go now to the third chapter of the book of Revelation. The Holy Spirit has a message for the church in Sardis, also in Asia Minor, and makes this promise. Verse 5, the victor will thus be dressed in white, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name in the presence of my Father and of his angels. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear what the Holy Spirit says. Again, this particular promise has several different parts to it. To the victor, to the one who conquers and overcomes the obstacles and the demons that afflict us, we will be dressed in white. The symbol there is a purity, a freedom from sin and evil. And I will never erase his or her name from the book of life. In both the Old and New Testament, you have this image of a book of life that God has, and in it is written all the names of the people that will be saved. And this particular promise of the Holy Spirit is that our name will never be erased from the book of life, that we never need to have any fear that we will be lost. Instead, the Holy Spirit says, I will acknowledge His name in the presence of my Father and of His angels. We can think of this promise as coming from both Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I will acknowledge your name. God will never be ashamed of us. Jesus will never be ashamed of us. The Holy Spirit will never be ashamed of us, provided we are victorious over the demons that afflict us, provided we are conquerors, that we are victors. We must never be ashamed of God. We must never be ashamed of our faith, of our religion. And in turn, Jesus and the Holy Spirit will never be ashamed of us. We go then to the sixth promise, and this is made to the church in Philadelphia. And this is not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but Philadelphia, Turkey, or Philadelphia, Asia Minor. The promise is made in verse 12. The victor I will make into a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never leave it again. On him I will inscribe the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, as well as my new name. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Holy Spirit says. Again, this sixth promise has several different parts to it. I will make the victor a pillar in the temple of my God. Here is another image of heaven, the temple of God. Just as the kingdom of God is an image, so now we got this image of a beautiful temple, and with these beautiful pillars that support this temple. And if we are victorious, if we conquer our demons, then we will become a pillar in the temple of God. And that pillar has both a practical use as well as a thing of beauty. It supports the whole temple. And just as that temple is supported by these pillars, so we will be pillars of the church. We will support God's presence on earth. I will make such a person, the victor, into a temple in the temple of my God, and he will never leave it again. In other words, we have permanent possession of the temple of God. We will never leave it again. On him I will inscribe the name of my God. And he speaks of this as a new name. Just as we are given a new name, so God has a new name to speak to us. I will inscribe on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. And I will inscribe on him my new name. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, we are told that the Lord will never forget us. Can a mother forget her infant and be without tenderness of the child of her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you, for I have inscribed your name on the palms of my hand. And so now we have inscribed on us this new name of God and of the temple of God, that we belong forever to God and to His temple. And finally we come to the seventh gift, the seventh promise, and this is made to the church of Laodicea. It is interesting in the particular message to the church of Laodicea, the Holy Spirit has something to say about mediocrity. He says, I would that you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is quite a message from the Holy Spirit that applies to us today. That, in a certain sense, people who are outright sinners have a better chance of being saved than people who are lukewarm and mediocre. And yet I wonder if you have ever once in your whole life confessed to the sin of mediocrity or lukewarmness. According to this message of the Holy Spirit to the church in Laodicea, lukewarmness or mediocrity is one of the worst possible sins that good people might commit. And I dare say that many of us, most of us, all of us, have been guilty of this sin of mediocrity, not once but many times in our life. And then, at the end of this message to the church in Laodicea, the Holy Spirit once more makes a promise. This begins at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter into his house and will dine with him and he with me. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says. Now this particular promise in a very special way refers to Jesus. We say in the Nicene Creed that he ascends into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. By this we express our faith that Jesus is equal to the Father in all things. But we can also apply this promise as coming to us from not only from Jesus, but from the Holy Spirit. We can think of the Holy Spirit standing at the door and knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter. We are all familiar with that picture of Jesus standing at the door in the nighttime and knocking, and the artist has made sure that there's no doorknob or latch string on the outside. The only way Jesus can get into our hearts if we open the door of our heart from within. And the same is true of the Holy Spirit. Every day, the Holy Spirit stands at the door of our soul and knocks. But the Holy Spirit is very gentle and will not force entrance into our life. The Holy Spirit is very patient and will continue knocking, thanks be to God, and not go away. The Holy Spirit, every day, through inspirations of grace, knocks upon the door of our life. And the Holy Spirit waits for us to open. If we use our freedom to open the door, the promise is, I will enter and sup with him and sit down to table with him. In the ancient world, as well as in today's world, this idea of sitting down to table with another person is a way of expressing equality with that person. It's no longer a question of someone being above us, but it's someone coming down to our level. And so this idea of Jesus and the Holy Spirit sitting down to table with us is to emphasize that through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we have been lifted up so that, as St. Paul says in the 8th chapter of Romans, we are co-heirs with Christ. We are brought up to an equal basis with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And this is expressed very beautifully in the next verse. I will give the victor the right to sit with me and my throne, as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on His throne. We can imagine that the ascension of Jesus into heaven after His resurrection was to express this equality between God the Father and God the Son. And so you can imagine at the time of the ascension that the Heavenly Father calls for a second chair or a third chair with the Holy Spirit on one side and Jesus on the other. But now the Holy Spirit promises us to the victor, to the one who conquers, to the one who overcomes these obstacles, to the one who is able to convert these demons from evil spirits into good spirits, I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on His throne. So what this promise is that if we are victorious, if we are conquerors, if we have overcome the demons that possess us, that when we die, you might say the Holy Spirit or Jesus will call for another chair and put us right up there with the Trinity. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on His throne. What a magnificent, what a glorious promise this is. What a tremendous offering of gifts these seven promises hold out for us. As we reflect upon them, all of us respond with this total determination to be victorious, to be conquerors of whatever evil spirits, whatever demons that now afflict us, to overcome all of these obstacles, and knowing that to do so, that we will be invited to sit with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit on the throne in heaven, just as Jesus sits with them. This is the end of the conference on the Holy Spirit, the promises from the book of Revelation.